you afraid now?
Are you very afraid?
Are you quaking in your boots?
Are you quaking in your other footwear?
Oh, hello, Monica.
Hello, Jessica.
I feel like we should have come up with spooky names for each other.
Perhaps Jessica Tinton. And
I'm sorry, what?
I'm trying to think of like an old-timey name. I can think of was like Morticia.
I was thinking more like Halloween pun names.
Ah, Jesse Black Cat. Wormica.
Boonica.
Boo.
Boo. Okay.
Well. Halloween is canceled this year. That's what we hear over here at the pod.
That's why we're here putting together a Halloween episode for you.
For you.
Because we're assuming that this is the best thing you'll have to do on Halloween.
And if it's not, rethink that.
Reprioritize, actually. You know?
There's a pandemic going on, ladies and gentlemen. Fucking figure it out.
This will come out before Halloween, just before, but if you want to wait and listen to it on Halloween, that'd be cool too.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, Monica?
I'm spooktacular. I really want just like lightning bolts all throughout this entire conversation.
And like a bubbling cauldron,
yes!
All throughout
and
it.
And a cackling skeleton. Yes. Maybe some rattling bones.
Yeah.
Oh, love me some rattling bones.
So when you're telling me that when you hear a rattle, you are able to tell if it's bones or something else.
Yes.
Wow. What a refined ear you have.
I know.
Oh, well, okay. So today we're obviously covering Halloween movies. We're not covering a specific daddy.
No, today we're bringing you something different, something extra, something spooky.
Yeah. And I think all of these movies have daddies in them.
Of course they do.
That is, you know, the thing linking them together, other than the fact that they're also spooky movies.
Mostly because they're spooky movies.
And also, this is a nice way for you guys to get used to future kinds of episodes like this that we'll do, usually, like, seasonally, or just because we fucking feel like it.
What's your favorite Halloween candy, Jessica?
My favorite Halloween candy?
Mm-hmm.
I am a big, big, big fan of the Reese's pumpkins.
They have those?
Yeah. They're, like, shaped like little pumpkins. They also have them in the shape of bats. During Christmas time, they have Reese's Christmas trees. I think they also have ghosts. Reese's ghosts that are white chocolate on the outside. They're fucking delicious. They're far superior to Reese's peanut butter cups.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have a lot more peanut butter and less chocolate. And the chocolate's like really soft on the outside. They're fucking delicious. Go get some.
I will.
What is your favorite Halloween candy?
I love a good chocolate turkey.
What?
I love a good chocolate turkey.
What is a chocolate turkey?
You know those,
and
like,
isn't turkey not for Halloween?
Okay, well, you're not giving me a chance to explain.
Okay, please explain. I'm sorry.
So at places like CVS or Target or other places where you can purchase things, where you can go there and like give them your money and then in exchange they give you goods.
Stores. Yes.
They typically sell Halloween candy / Thanksgiving stuff.
Okay.
And sometimes the Thanksgiving stuff is on sale. And I've always really loved a good hollowed out turkey.
Okay.
Made of chocolate.
So, okay. That sounds great. I'm going to rephrase my question and say, you're out trick or treating. Someone drops a candy into your bag. What is your favorite candy?
3, 2, 1. Chocolate turkey. If people don't have access to these birds.
Yeah. So what is your like second, what is your more common favorite Halloween candy?
Oh, I'm a big fan of, you know, those like little Hershey's bars, those like mini Hershey's
bars. Yeah.
And they come in like different flavors.
Yeah.
Milk chocolate, dark chocolate. I really love the milk chocolate almond one.
Okay.
That
Those
one's
are good.
Tight.
I also really like the mini crunch bars.
Mini crunch
I like
bars.
Them when you put them in the freezer.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the best. Also really like tiny Jolly Ranchers.
do enjoy Tiny Jolly Ranchers. Anything sour, really.
I love a caramel apple pop, actually. That's one of my big faves.
I'm not a candy corn gal.
I had this discussion with one of my friends the other day. I was like, I'm not going to seek candy corn out, but if it's in a bowl in front of me, I'll have a few.
I don't understand the flavor.
It's candy. It's
no, sugar. What does it taste like? It tastes like sugar. Not corn. I got fucking bamboozled by the candy corn company thinking that I'm going to taste something that tastes like buttery theater popcorn. Not true. It's orange. Doesn't look like corn. It's a triangle.
It's like corn kernel-y shaped.
I need to stop talking about this with you. If you're not going to be reasonable, let's just stop fucking talking about this
thing. I'm sorry. What about the little pumpkins that are also usually mixed in with the candy corn?
I do like those.
They taste the same. You fucking fraud.
That's not true. Sometimes, so, okay, pasta, right? Yeah. Spooky pasta. If pasta was shaped in a spooky shape, would you eat it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my argument was, like, all pasta doesn't taste the same if it's in different shapes. I don't think spaghetti tastes the same.
Yeah, because we disagree on this argument, period. You have a weird thing about noodles and you claim that they're different from each other when, like, I guess technically if they're made from different companies, there will be differences.
But I don't like spaghetti.
At a really basic level, noodles are the same.
I think linguine is the best tasting one.
I can't have this discussion with you on the air. You like linguine, but you don't like spaghetti. There's barely a difference.
I also kind of don't like bucatini. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
I think
out.
The noodles are
You're
too
fired.
Fat.
I'm looking for a new co-host.
They taste very
Please
tinny.
Please DM us.
I'm sorry. We're getting way off track here. I apologize for steering us in the pasta direction.
That's okay. I think everyone likes pasta, so they can relate. But okay, so I guess let's start getting into the movies. So obviously there's a lot of Halloween movies to choose from. We got kind of caught up in that decision making process. And then we were like, hopefully we'll be doing this for more than 1 year. So there will be other opportunities to do the other ones. So we're going to start you off with a classic, a big boy classic. The classic is called Halloween.
Halloween. Halloween. I am.
Alrighty, Halloween.
Mazel tov.
1978, written by John Carpenter and Deborah Hill, directed by John Carpenter. The year is 1963. The night, Halloween. Police are called to 43 Lambkin Lane only to discover that 15-year-old Judith Myers has been stabbed to death by her 6-year-old brother, Michael. After being institutionalized for 15 years, Myers breaks out on the night before Halloween. No one knows nor wants to find out what will happen on October 31st, 1978, besides Myers' psychiatrist, Dr. Loomis. He knows Michael is coming back to Haddonfield, but by the time the town realizes it, it'll be too late for many people. Mainly for horny teenagers. That's like the big problem.
That's his big issue, is finding teenagers in compromising positions.
Yeah, and I was reading something about how when people first saw this movie, they were like, oh, this movie is like anti, like teen sex. Like that's what this movie is about.
Pro-abstinence.
It's about promoting abstinence. And John Carpenter was like, no, that was just like these kids are just like vulnerable. That's the only reason why we use that. It's not because I don't like teen sex.
We don't like teen sex. Teens, keep it in your pants. We don't want to see you out there having teen sex.
Wrap it up, kids. Wrap it up.
Maybe they can get, oh no, this is probably too crude.
What?
I was going to say, perhaps they can find condoms with bats on them.
Candy corn flavored condoms.
Candy corn.
Except apparently no one will like them because everyone fucking hates candy corn.
But the pumpkins are fine.
Yeah, the pumpkins are fine. Alrighty, so this movie. Monica, tell me your initial thoughts.
My initial thoughts of this film, I love this film. I also love, contrary to most people's beliefs, or not beliefs, but like opinions, mm-hmm. I also love the, what was it, like 2019 remake of this movie?
Sure.
I love both of them. Jamie Lee Curtis in this film
is
a revelation.
She's incredible. The original Scream Queen. Mm-hmm. All the girls in this movie are actually really good. Like, I really love PJ Souls. She was in Carrie. And she was great in that, but she was especially good in this. Her fucking, like, she's like the slutty one with the pigtails. Yeah. I love her. I love her. But yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis is amazing. I had never seen this movie all the way through. I had just seen like little pieces. So this was my first time actually like sitting through the entire movie. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, Halloween is an incredible movie, because I just don't feel that way about like slasher movies in general.
Oh, no.
I'm never going to be like, this is a great film.
This is a filmy film. A filmy film of film proportions.
But I will say that for the time, this movie was fucking huge. Mm-hmm. And this movie is what like established a lot of those like Halloween slash horror movie tropes that you see carry through other horror movies. So it was really interesting and fun to see where a lot of those things came from.
Oh, totally.
So I think that's mainly like why I liked this movie. Also, like Michael Myers is just creepy. So that's always fun.
You know, I have always adored the character of Michael Myers, specifically mm-hmm. because like we can't relate to him at all.
Yeah. He is not just, at all.
He is like a vessel for evil, and that's literally it. Which I you know, sometimes you think like, okay, the villain has to have at least one quality that the audience can relate to in order for it to be a good film. Mm-hmm. That is not the case. This yeah. is the watching this movie for the first time a few years ago, I sort of noticed the fact that Michael Myers, like, there is nothing at all about him that I can relate to whatsoever.
No.
And I don't think that is a hindrance to the film. I think that actually elevates the film to a new level. And I didn't think it was possible for a film to be good if the villain wasn't, like really deep and rich. Like, that it's okay yeah. for the villain to just be like a vessel for evil.
Yeah, the value of his character in this movie comes from the fact that he is only one thing. Mm-hmm. Which is evil. And even from like, I mean, it was so shocking initially to people, because when you first meet him, he's a child,
a baby.
Six. And I mean, when you see that first like POV shot, which it, first of all, incredible opening shot
so
to a movie.
Good.
Apparently it took them like days.
Johnny boy, we admire you.
but yeah. So like when you first see, like you see that there are some odd things, like when you see his hands mm-hmm. through the mask holes, it looks strange. You're like, is that a child's hand? Is that a woman's hand? Is this just an odd shot? and then you get it confirmed later that it's a kid, and you're like, oh fuck, that's scary. That's really fucking scary. I don't like it.
It's fucked up, bro.
Children are scary.
Children are scary. I think the original title for this movie was like The Babysitter Killers or The Babysitter yeah, Murders yeah. or some shit. And I think John Carpenter has like a lot of angst about teens slash children.
I don't know. Maybe it comes back to the thing I said earlier where he just like sees them as like a vulnerable and like targetable group.
But then also making a child be like a force of
sure
bad. Like that's that also I guess this movie I find to be very curious, because mm-hmm. a lot of the things that I think are scary show up in this film in really specific ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, for example, I love Star Trek.
Okay.
I love Star Trek. And when I found out that the mask that Michael Myers, like, uses is just, like, the fucking Captain Kirk mask.
Yeah, but, like, painted but, like, a really painted, disgusting shade
gross.
Of white.
Yeah. I love that this movie takes things that you would think would be innocent or you would think would never be scary in that kind of way mm-hmm. and like subverts them and turns them into something really, truly terrifying.
Well, I think that is why people found this movie like so scary, especially back then. I mean, obviously now there's a certain cheese factor to certain effects and things that are in the movie. But like often the scariest things are the most ordinary things.
I know.
So I think this movie plays upon that. But also we have to remember that this was like, it was shot in the 1970s, which was like peak serial killer time.
Oh, in reality. He didn't have to work very hard to get people scared.
No. And so like this was an actual thing that was fucking happening, is that like girls particularly were being slaughtered, young girls, like just with no meaning. And so I think that really played upon audiences' fears really well. And luckily, it has just happened to carry over and still be good and like people still love it.
I mean, I know we're not talking about the remake specifically.
Sure.
But Jamie Lee Curtis's career, I mean, this movie is a big staple in her fucking career.
Yeah.
And I just, watching this film, like, this is Jamie Lee Curtis's film.
Yes.
This is, I mean, her performance in this is incredible. She has, like, a maturity to her that, comes with, like, her being herself. Mm-hmm. And then there's the character that she's playing, who is this, like, vulnerable teenager.
Yeah.
And I just think that she melds the two very well together to make it very believable mm-hmm. that she could get away and she could be smart enough to, like, outsmart Michael Myers. And she could, like, she is capable of doing all of these things. Like, she's not a dumb teenager.
No.
And I just really appreciate the, like, how believable her role is in this film. Because, again, like, a lot of it is a pretty... like a very standard slasher film, even mm-hmm. though it's one of the first of its kind, really.
Yeah.
I just think that with a lot of the tropes in this film, I really appreciate that she's not like a dumb blonde type character whose really like only motive is to get away / everything happens like with luck. Like she actually like outsmarts Michael Myers in this film.
Yeah. And I mean, then she gets hurt. Too
pretty bad.
Yeah, and there are some moments where she's pretty fucking terrified and close to death, and like, you know, I think that's what makes it that much more real, because I think in movies like this you're used to seeing like, oh well, the smart one who's like not worried about boys is the one who's gonna survive.
Because she doesn't worry about boys.
Because she's not worried about fucking. So she's going to survive the serial killer.
Abstinence.
But, I mean, there are moments where you're like, okay, this movie might end with everyone dying.
Yeah. And you believe that, too.
Yeah.
And that's something that, like, you don't go into this movie thinking, okay, like, the heroine's going to live and, like, this is going to be great.
No.
You go into this thinking everyone could die. Like, yeah, that's possible.
The only reason I knew she survived is because I knew there was a sequel that she was in. And unless they bring her back as a ghost.
Ghost. Jamie Lee Ghostess.
Yeah. I think if you're interested, if you like horror movies especially, and you haven't seen Halloween, like
you a fake fan.
What are you doing? Because this was a really important foundational movie, and also just cut to John Carpenter for a moment. Like, the man is a fucking do it all.
He's a beast.
You know,
he's
wrote a true directed. Beast. He wrote the theme, which is fucking iconic. But
give us a little theme. Croon a little.
No.
Come on. Give the people what they want.
Stop.
Come on. Give us a little croon, baby.
No, Monica.
She said no. I don't know why I keep thinking the theme is do 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 do.
Because that's
Twilight.
Because so. Like that's what comes to mind. And I don't, I have heard, seen this movie once and don't know the theme well enough to be like, I'm going to sing it into the mic for you now.
Beep, 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 beep,
beep. Yeah, it's that.
So good.
But it's really, really good, but also it plays constantly throughout this fucking movie.
It's so annoying.
And it gets a little annoying sometimes.
It's like Beverly Hills Cop when they keep like, beep, 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 beep,
yes,
beep,
yes,
beep,
yes. It's exactly beep, like that. And they don't sound that different, honestly.
Okay, what I want someone to do is to replace every single time the Halloween theme comes in with a theme from Beverly Hills Cop. Boom, 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 boom.
Like, in a way, I understand what putting the theme in it all the time does. Like, I know it's supposed to, like, signal the audience, but it takes away some of, like, the anticipation for me. Because
absolutely.
I'm being signaled, like, something is about to happen. So, there's that. But it is very impressive that he wrote that theme and it became so iconic.
Oh, it's super iconic. A lot of people, like, give nods to it in not mm-hmm. in different films specifically, but, like, in other movies or, like, other TV shows that, like, reference the film. It always has to do with either Michael Myers mm-hmm. or this fucking theme.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do, 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 do. Wow, that's not the...
None of these are the theme.
None of these. You know that iconic theme we keep talking to you about? We don't know it.
It takes a few times to really stick in the brain, Monica. Alrighty. Well, that was Halloween.
That was Jolloween. Good, yes. Good movie.
Very good movie.
Aaron, do you have any thoughts?
I like it a lot.
Aaron loves it a lot. Or likes it a lot.
You don't have any other thoughts?
I like the new one, too. The new one was great, too.
No, the old one.
Isn't Judy Greer in the new one?
Yeah.
Wow, love Judy.
My love to Judy. Send my love to Judy.
Alrighty. So then we're going to move into a bit more modern, a Halloween film.
One of those ja-ja Halloween films.
Take it away, Monica.
What We Do in the Shadows, 2014. Written and directed by Jemaine Clements and Taika Waititi.
Great job.
Thank
Good
you.
Job. That's What We Do in the Shadows, if you can decipher from the song.
A little bit about What We Do in the Shadows. Follow the lives of Viago, played by Taika Waititi, Deacon, played by Jonathan Brew, and Vladislav, played by Jemaine Clements. Three flatmates who are just trying to get by and overcome life's obstacles, like being immortal vampires who must feast on human blood. Casual. Hundreds of years old, the vampires are finding that beyond sunlight, catastrophes, hitting the main artery, and not being able to get a sense of their wardrobe without a reflection, modern society has them struggling with the mundane, like paying rent, keeping up with the chore wheel, trying to get into nightclubs, and overcoming flatmate conflicts.
This movie is...
This movie's whack.
This movie's whack. It's one of the most unique movies I've ever seen.
It's whacked out. It's crazy. It's like, wackadoodle.
What an interesting take on something.
I heard that they filmed like 1 million trillion hours of this movie and it took them like a year or something to get it down to like the 90 minutes. It's a short film.
It is a short film.
But a lot of it is improvised. They had a script, obviously. Yeah. I just don't think that Jemaine Clements and Taika Waititi, I don't think that they showed the script to anyone. It was just improv.
I mean, like, so you can tell that because so much of the movie, like what we said, it's just about like the mundane. And I think the funniest moments about the mundane things in life come up, you know, just naturally out of nowhere. It's hard to write the norm.
It's so genius that they're vampires.
Yes, it's the most unique take on a truly overdone fucking character.
100%.
Like, when I first watched this movie, my friend was like, you have to watch this. It's a vampire movie, but it's a comedy. And I was like, that doesn't sound like that's not selling
sound
me.
Good.
I am not sold. And she's like, but it's kind of like a documentary. And I was like, well, now I'm just confused. So I eventually watched it and I was like, oh, this is fucking brilliant.
It's a mockumentary.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Taika Waititi is the most brilliant man on the face of the planet and he can truly do it all. I mean, Jemaine, I love you. I love you too. Please don't get the wrong idea. I just wanted to spotlight Taika for a second.
It's okay, Jemaine. We're just going to talk about Taika real quick.
Super fast. Taika Waititi's character in this film is the fucking cherry on top of a really complicated cake.
Yes. Like the way that they decided what the backstories of each of the vampires was going to be. And he's a fucking dandy. He's a dandy. And so therefore he's the one who like wakes them all up every morning or like every night, I guess. And he's the one who keeps up with the chore wheel. So funny. And his fucking backstory about why he's not with the girl that he loves is ridiculous.
Oh, it's so good. And, you know, I feel like it's such an incredible take, or like it offers such an incredible perspective because he's a fucking vampire and he's like a type A like room mom.
Yeah,
basically is what he is. Because like it's a very relatable role because either you have someone in your life who is that way, or you are that person.
Well, they made vampires relatable. They were like, vampires, they're just like us, kind of. Like how Us Weekly does with celebrities.
Yeah, celebrities are just like us. They're real.
They unload the groceries.
They have their children strapped to their chests.
Yeah, it just like what they do with this movie is they take an insane thing, being a vampire, and then they normalize it, and then they just keep like upping the ante of this equation. It's so, like for the first like 25 minutes, mm-hmm. it's just funny because they're just vampires trying to be normal
dudes. and you as the audience member are like brought into the world and you're mm-hmm. getting familiar with like what exactly this movie's about and yes. and how what level of funny this is. Mm-hmm.
And then like the next portion they bring in like which vampire is it? Deacon's familiar. Mm-hmm. And that just like raises the bar again because you're like, okay, so they are still like pretty vampire-y in some ways. And then it's the whole section where she's like hunting food for them,
yes.
trying to find people for them. And then in the third act, you get all the werewolves and they go to the party and fucking Stu, the character of Stu, they just take this really stupid idea and then just like raise the bar 100 times.
Feed it steroids.
Yeah, yeah,
that's exactly. What happens.
It's done so well. Oh God, I love this movie. It's truly truly brilliant.
This Bravo movie, to them. I will say that this movie is really difficult to talk about because if you haven't seen it, mm-hmm. then you don't understand the flavor of funny. Because yeah. it's a really bizarre combination of like dry wit, mm-hmm. Physical comedy, and like really subtle jokes.
Yeah, I also do think there's an element of humor added to it by the fact that they're like in New Zealand. I don't think I would have found it as funny as if it were a bunch of American people talking, personally.
He's like, hello, it is I, the vampire. I'm just going to get into me coffin.
You said, now you're English.
Oh, man. I'm just going to get into my coffin. Oh, fuck.
Now you sound like a beetle.
I'm just going to get into my coffin.
Yeah, I think you're just making
Jermaine,
it worse.
Jermaine. Yes, Tyker? It is I, Tyker Waititi. Oh, Tyker. Good to meet you.
I'm so sorry if we have any listeners who are from New Zealand.
Hey, good day, mate.
Who like New Zealand.
I'm from New Zealand. New Zealand. Hobbiton. Tyker, what are you doing? Nothing, Jermaine. I'm not doing anything at all.
This is a train wreck.
Are they actually in New Zealand? I thought that they were in Staten yes. Island.
This whole film takes place in New Zealand, hence why everyone has a New Zealand accent.
Kiwi! They're Kiwis! They're Kiwi vampires!
Yes.
Anyway, go watch this fucking movie.
Yeah.
It is brilliant.
They're also just like really good actors. Like, I think we know at least Jermaine Clements from being just like a big fucking comedic actor. With like Flight of the Conchords and I mean any other role he's in.
Other things.
He's just like a big joke kind of most of the time.
He's just a fat walking meme.
But in this movie, well, first of all, Jermaine has like a weird sex appeal in general. He has like a very odd face and is yet like really attractive.
He also plays the crab in Moana. Very believable.
An animated crab.
And the crab who wishes to find the shiny things. Shiny.
I think that was my favorite part of that whole movie.
So good.
But yeah, so like you have Jermaine delivering like his best. And then Taika, I had never seen him act before until this movie. And he's an incredible actor.
Oh, his comedic timing is honestly
brilliant.
It is so like I envy that so much because
yeah
his acting is very small
mm-hmm.
And very internal.
A similar like Ryan Gosling thing where it's like all in the tone.
I know, it's all in the eyes and it's all in the tone mm-hmm. and he keeps it at a really distinct level the yeah. whole time. He does not go above the barometer. Like he's very much at the center of it all. And it's very small. And sometimes you can miss it. You can miss the fact that he was just funny
uh-huh.
because it's so internal and it's so like he's so used to it. Like that mm-hmm. is his state of being that it's really difficult for you to believe that he's like an actor acting like that's just him.
Yeah,
that's
like,
just who he is.
I think of that scene where he where he's killing that woman on the couch and he's putting down all the newspaper and he's like, He's like, so how are you? And she's like, oh, well, I'm going back to school and I'm visiting my family. And he's like looking kind of sad all of a sudden, but he's still like placing the napkins and he's just like, okay. Well,
Will.
And then kills her.
Sorry about this. Man's got to eat.
That's why I think if you're like not paying attention during that moment, you're like, this is kind of like upsetting, but he's being hilarious.
Oh, so good. This movie gives me belly laughs every single time.
Yeah. I will say, I think it like slumps a little in the middle.
Oh, 100%.
There's a middle, like probably half hour that you're just kind of like,
what is happening?
Can we move on?
I'm really glad that they turned this movie into a TV series.
Yes, me too. I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's amazing.
I haven't seen it either. I think that's going to be my next thing.
Oh, really? You'll have to tell us all about it.
I'll let you know.
Please.
As a Kiwi, if it works.
With your really, really good, authentic New Zealand accent.
If it makes me satisfied. If it satisfies me as a Kiwi. No. This is a really great feel-good, hilarious, like, mockumentary romp that I really love popping on around the Halloween time just to give me a break from all of the death and destruction of like, all the horror movies that we watch.
See, I don't really watch horror movies, so, I mean, if I watch a horror movie, I have to have just taken an edible so that I laugh the whole time. Like, I watched The Exorcist for the first time during quarantine, and I had to, like, I had to be high because otherwise it would have scared the shit out of me. But instead, I watched it and I laughed the whole time.
The whole
when she
way
comes
through.
Down those stairs on her... doing the back bend, doing the crab or the spider.
Shiny.
I lost my mind.
She comes down and she's like, shiny. I love my shiny things. I'm a crab. Shiny.
This Moana and the Exorcist crossover is the thing I never knew I needed.
It honestly should happen. No, I mean, I typically put in what we do in the shadows. As a palate cleanser.
it's a great palate cleanser.
It's incredible. Also, Taika Waititi's other films are just remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, granted, he did this with Jermaine pretty hand in hand, but yeah, like...
they were like best pals on this film.
Yeah, exactly. But Taika obviously is a great filmmaker. I mean, he did, you know, Jojo Rabbit and has gotten acclaim for other things. So to see him do something like this...
wacky.
Purely comedic.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
It's awesome.
So good. Anyway, go watch What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes.
Make sure that you have a bowl of the candy corn, but the pumpkin.
Mm-hmm. Only the pumpkin.
Only the pumpkins.
And enjoy.
So
our third and final film is Suspiria. I think probably the scariest of the movies we're discussing.
Oh, this is hands down, like, forget Halloween. Like, this is the scariest one of the three.
This is just a pretty freaky movie in general.
Freaky!
So, Suspiria, made in 2018, written by David Kozganek, directed by Luca Guadagnino.
Gnocchi.
I did it. Based on the original film by Dario Argento and Daria Nicolodi, Susie Banyan, played by Dakota Johnson, is a young American ballerina who travels to Berlin to study dancing at the Marcos Tanz Company, one of the world's most renowned schools under Madame Blanc, played by Tilda Swinton,
brilliantly,
under her management. On her very first day, one of the students who had been recently expelled, Chloe Grace Moretz, from the school has gone missing. Learning this wasn't the first time this happened, the brilliant new student begins to suspect that the school and its leaders might be involved. As her terrifying nightmares become more frequent, more dark mysteries are revealed as the truth about the school becomes clear. A coven of witches hell-bent on using Susie as a conduit for their ancient leader, Mother Suspiriorum.
Wow.
This movie is big. And heavy.
And bold.
It has a lot of body horror, so I was pretty shocked that Monica suggested this movie, considering she hates body horror.
I do hate body horror. My least favorite scene in the entire movie is when they put the hooks into that one girl.
Oh, that's your least? I thought it would just be that whole scene where she's dancing and her body is breaking.
It doesn't look... I tell myself that it's really not real.
Oh, okay.
So that doesn't affect me as much.
Because that was pretty horrifying.
It's also all inside. None of it is like piercing the skin, so none of it like bothers me that much.
But you see her bones like sticking out eventually.
Eh.
Do you also dislike the part towards the end where what's her face?
Sarah breaks her leg. Yeah, yeah. I fucking hate that. I hate that so much. But in regards to the movie, Suspiria is a beautiful film.
Mm-hmm.
I say that after we have just talked about like people breaking their legs and hooks being put in people.
It is a beautiful film. It's beautifully shot.
Yeah, I love the fact that the majority of the film is really bleak mm-hmm. and gray and mm-hmm. kind of barren. And the only real pops of color, like these like brilliant oranges and brilliant reds
yeah.
that peek through whenever something really wacky's happening, and mm-hmm. also Dakota Johnson's hair.
Yes.
I love that the more the movie goes on, the more color is added.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. Because it's just very different from the original Suspiria, which is incredibly like in your face and like primary colors up the fucking wazoo. So
well, that was the 1970s.
I know, baby. I know, baby. Groovy baby. but anyway, yeah, it's a gorgeous film. It's really beautifully shot. And if you can remove all of the parts of it that are really disturbing and ghastly, then you can appreciate the actual beauty of this film and the setting.
Yeah.
Cause it's set in Berlin and it's during really interesting times.
Yeah. During dark ass times, the wall,
mm-hmm. which the only critique that I really have of this movie is I really don't think that the like historical / political aspects of it are even really necessary.
I think that they could be because I do find them interesting. Mm-hmm. Because like that's Chloe Grace Moretz's character's whole like motivation because she wants to be part of something bigger. And so like it's a fucking yes. cover up for them. I think they could have incorporated it more. Like I think they could have meshed the two together mm-hmm. a lot better. But I guess if we were just to take it as it is now, I would be like, yeah, I guess cut that part out.
Yeah. It doesn't really need it as the movie stands. Like as it is now, I don't think that it needs that background.
Yeah.
Because it just feels too separate.
I think the only thing that like, that it helps with is that it explains why even though these girls are experiencing a lot of weird shit, they don't just escape because the outside is also so terrible.
Absolutely.
So I think it makes the school a lot more of like a safe haven for them. So you believe it more that they're like giving into it,
mm-hmm.
I guess, and participating.
I feel that.
Does that make sense?
Does that make sense? Thank you, teacher. Tilda Swinton plays three characters in this film.
Yep.
Beautifully, might I add. So she plays her main character,
Madame Blanc.
Nationality unknown. Not sure if she's a German woman, if she's a French woman, or if she's a British woman.
I mean, it's all kind of, it's all super vague about the nationalities of some of them.
Mm-hmm.
For everyone, really. There's that really interesting part where they're doing the vote.
Right.
And it has that beautiful rotating shot where it like slowly
pretty.
Reveals the hidden quarters mm-hmm. of all of the witches,
mm-hmm.
which I think was Brill. The cinematographer for this is the same as Call Me By Your Name, say what you will about that movie. It's a stunning film.
It's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
So, and that the guy, I forget his name. I forget the cinematographer's name.
Madame Blanc.
He does an awesome job.
Johann Gastavasu.
Okay, I'm giving this my best shot. The cinematographer's name is Sayambu Mukdipram. I believe he's Thai.
Very good.
I'm sorry if that was a terrible pronunciation. But anyway, he has worked. Luca Guadagnino did Call Me By Your Name as well. He was the director. And so this is the same cinematographer. Very, very different content.
So different.
Super, super beautifully shot. And he does some of these. He does those really interesting shots where like, he changes the angle like ever so slightly while mm-hmm. also moving the camera just to give you like little different views of the room, mm-hmm. which is super fucking cool. But anyway, what I was trying to say earlier was that during that shot where they're doing the vote, you hear everyone like calling out their votes.
Marcos
Blanc. And you hear them in different accents. And mm-hmm. so you're just like, who the fuck are all these people?
And where did they come from?
How did they meet each other?
what are they doing? I love this movie for a multitude of reasons. First of all, this is the only movie that I, you know, no offense, that I love Dakota Johnson in.
I don't really have feelings about her. I saw 50 Shades of Grey. That was it.
That was sort of it, right? So, oh, no, that's not true. I saw her with her, like, 20-minute cameo mm-hmm. in The 5-Year Engagement.
Oh.
As
she's in that?
She's in that.
For 20 full minutes?
She's a blonde towards the end.
Interesting. I don't remember this.
Yeah, Jason Segel, he dates her after he breaks up with Emily Blunt.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good to know.
I love that movie. Anyway, going back to Suspiria, I love the themes in this film so much. I think that they're handled really well. I think the themes of like motherhood and sisterhood and like, you know, one over the many and many over the one. Like, I think that all of them are really beautifully executed in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that you don't get you don't really get like a full backstory of Dakota Johnson's character. She kind of just shows up and then it goes back in time to sort of like see where she came from and why she ran away and why she's here. And I really love that. I love that version of storytelling where like you don't necessarily, you put a character in the situation and then you sort of go back into their mind or their dreams or their memories to see where they came from. And you as the audience member are responsible for putting those pieces together. I really like that. I know it's not necessarily something that you see all the time.
Yeah, I really like that too, but also because her memory of her past like kind of mutates
mm-hmm.
The nightmares, etc. So that's also really weird how you're like, I'm putting these pieces together, but like she's not a very reliable narrator.
Not at all.
Not that she's literally narrating it, but you see it through her mind. And so you're seeing it mutate. And so you're just kind of like, well, what the fuck did actually happen? Mm-hmm. Like I know, but I don't know, which is so much more interesting, especially when you get the big reveal at the end about who she actually is.
I mean, it's sort of, I like that the reveal didn't necessarily come out of nowhere mm-hmm. because Susie, her character's name is fucking Susie. Susie's mother mentions, I think in the beginning of the film, either in the first or the second act, or at the beginning of the second act, she mentions to, I'm not familiar with like the Mennonite religion or way of life, so I don't know if it's like a pastor or a minister or a main guy, but the main guy asks her dying mother, like, oh, you know I absolve like all of your sins because you're about to die mm-hmm. and like this is what happens. And she sort of like weakishly looks up at him and is like, well, like my daughter is my biggest sin. And I just thought that was interesting because I've seen this movie a couple times before, and watching it again, this is the first time that I caught that
mm-hmm.
And like really thought more about it, because that it makes the reveal at the end of the film that much more interesting and that much more believable.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, it sort of came out of nowhere for me. Like the first time that I watched this movie, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, why is that a thing?
Yep.
How is she mother Suspiriorum. I don't get that. Suspiriorum. Wingardium Suspiriorum. I was like, what the fuck? Like, where is this coming from and how did this happen?
No, it is kind of hard to believe, I guess. The only reason I like was fine with that reveal, I guess, is because they showed you multiple times where she has like seen weird shit happening in that school and
absolutely.
Just like been kind of like blank about it.
Totally.
Like she literally sees them like not torturing, but like fucking around with the detectives. They've like put the detectives in that trance.
And they're like putting the hook on them.
Yeah. And they're like touching them the hook and they like have their pants down and they're like cackling and playing with their penises. It's like really disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
And she just like doesn't react.
No, not at all. Which is why I think that Dakota Johnson was an incredible pick for this film, because not to take this the wrong way, but Dakota Johnson can't react for shit. So she was great in this film.
She's really good at being blank, is what you're saying?
She's very good at being blank.
She's a good blank canvas.
She's like, a very good blank canvas.
There is value in that, obviously.
I also love a dance movie.
I also love a dance movie. So when you find out it's ballet, or not ballet, but dance, but with witches,
Ooh. Oh, yeah, baby. Send me the fuck up. This movie, you know, we keep mentioning how, like, gorgeous it is. But the dance sequences specifically are so visceral and, like, in your face. While for some reason being at the same time beautiful and like transcendent, it's so bizarre and it's very, as an audience member, confusing because you don't know what to feel.
Yeah. I think it's a really unique horror movie or like thriller movie. I think it does things that are really new, which horror is one of those genres where it's just like, what is there to be done that can feel fresh and interesting? So it's really hard to make an interesting, you know, horror slash thriller movie. Mm-hmm. And this managed to do it while also still like calling back to previous horror movies as well.
Absolutely.
Which I think was really, really cool. Like the girl, what's the actor's name? Oh, Jessica Warner, who was in the original Suspiria. And then she plays Anka in this one. Mm-hmm. Like she was also in... oh, what is the name of the movie? Phantom of the Paradise, which was a Brian De Palma movie. Mm-hmm. And they do like that signature, like Brian De Palma shot in this where they have, it's like the double focus. Mm-hmm. And they do little, like little references to other like former horror greats throughout this movie. And I think that's like really cool while also maintaining their sort of fresh take. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I also love this movie's use of color specifically. Like, just throughout the film is like, as I mentioned earlier, like it gets more colorful, like towards the end of the film than it is at the beginning. And I mean, let's just talk about their fucking costumes in that like last dance sequence.
Holy shit. Holy all those red shit. Ropes.
And the fact that they all like move with them and also away from them, it fucking blew my mind.
Yeah.
Because again, it brings you back into that confusing space of like, is this beautiful? But I feel really uncomfortable right now.
There's like something weird because I'm not particularly afraid of like gore or things like that. But witchcraft in general kind of freaks me out a lot. And I think it's out. I think it's partially because I was brought up Catholic and that's like a big no-no.
That's like a big no-no.
But also there's something really creepy about like an entire group of people moving in sync.
At the same
really
time.
Aggressively.
Really aggressively and almost like contorting their bodies in really uncomfortable ways.
And also somehow remaining kind of calm.
And also at the same time, with that calmness, being in full control of their bodies.
Yeah, it's really, that's like really scary. And then I don't like creepy, high-pitched like group like noises or laughter.
Yeah.
Like when you hear all of the witches behind that door, like shrieking and like grunting, that like scares the shit out of me.
Oh, 100%.
Something about like group evil is really horrifying.
Group evil, a subgenre. One thing that I will say about this movie that like every single time I watch it, it really fucking gets me and really crawls under my skin is the use of breath throughout the film.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, it's like, and then like you hear all of the breathing of everyone. And because it's a dance movie, breath work is incredibly important. Like if you're a dancer, you know, like if you're not breathing, you can't move. So.
Well, their entire like intent is to live forever. Mm-hmm. Like that is the motivation of the whole movie is to find a body suitable for Mother Suspiria. Or not for Mother Suspiria, for Mother
Wingardium Leviosa.
No, Mother Marcos is her name. But yeah, so she wants to like live fucking forever and Mother Suspiria is like, nah, bitch, this is not how we do things.
Mm-mm. Let me come back and correct.
Mm-hmm.
But I fucking hate and love the use of breath in this film.
Yeah.
It comes up in the most like eerie times. Like every single time there's even a beat of uncomfortable silence, it's also followed by like breathing.
Yeah.
Whether that breathing is very shallow or very deep or very short or like long breaths. Like it really depends. And I just love the use of breath to tell a story.
Yeah.
This film just does it so well and I hate it and love it at the same time.
Yeah, it's super uncomfortable or like you know it's there but you're not paying attention to it and then you realize it and you're just
and
like,
you realize
gross.
It's there and it sucks.
Real gross. The only thing I'm not a huge fan of is this movie is the end.
Oh yeah, the end is crazy.
Like I have no problem with Dakota Johnson being like, surprise, bitch, mm-hmm. I'm Mother Suspiriorum. That is fine. Mm-hmm. But the movie has like a very distinct aesthetic and like sound to yes, it up absolutely. Until that point. And then all of a sudden it goes slow-mo mm-hmm. and you get this like really contemporary, like modern dance sounding song come on and everyone starts exploding.
And she like kills everyone.
Yeah, she kills everyone who didn't vote for Madame Blanc.
I know. Bitch.
She kills them all. They all explode. That is like, it gets melodramatic because of how ridiculous it is.
And it's all red. The whole frame is red.
I have no problem with people exploding. If we're doing it in the same style, we've done it for the past 2.5 hours in
this
movie.
It's a
long fucking movie.
It's in 6 acts.
Yeah. So all of a sudden it shifts stylistically and you're just like, okay, well.
It was a choice.
Could we have just kept it the same?
It was a choice.
Yeah.
I believe that the song was also like nominated for an Oscar.
Well, I didn't like the song, so take that.
I think they just needed a song.
They couldn't have kept like the same like creepy scoring that they were doing for the rest of the
movie. It couldn't have been "I Just Can't Wait to Be King" from The Lion King soundtrack.
Just thrown in there as people start exploding
in
slow motion.
Be a mighty king.
Just so you guys know, as Monica sings that, she's like flicking her hands out as if she is like cueing people to explode.
The one thing that I will say about that ending sequence, I really love that she allows the three girls who were originally going to be used as vessels.
Yeah.
So Chloe Grace Moretz's character, Sarah, and what's
Olga.
Her face? Olga. She like, you know, gives them a nice little like, what do you want me to do with you?
Yeah, she's like, what do you want, my child? And two of them say die because they're already so fucking close to death. They're like, mm-hmm. please just let me die already. The last one though, she says she wants to live and then she dies anyway.
That was kind of a bummer.
Poor Sarah. I do feel bad for her.
She was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I know, and she was just trying to, you know, she just wanted to like save her friends.
Absolutely. Tilda Swinton in this movie
yeah.
plays this like old psychiatrist guy
yes.
who, I mean, one of her characters is
Madame Blanc, the
guy.
Psychiatrist whose name I don't remember.
Joseph then, something.
And then the scary lady.
Oh, Joseph Klemperer or something. Whatever.
Klemperer, I think.
Klemperer, yeah. He is the one thing that I will say about this movie is I don't understand his character very well.
Okay.
I think it's because he's like one of the only men in this movie. And this yeah. movie does not like men.
No, it doesn't. It's a ladies' film.
It's a ladies' film. It treats men as disposable in this film.
Or as like a joke.
Or as like something to laugh at. Versus the women in this film are very, like, put on a very high pedestal. Mm-hmm. And sort of celebrated, and like what they can do is like really vast versus like men are not really useful.
Yeah.
And I can't say that I like that about this film, but I do appreciate that about this film. Mm-hmm. But anyway, as just a human being in this world, I don't understand his character very, very well. I think it might be because I don't understand what he's saying 90% of the time.
Well, I mean, Tilda has to sound like a man, and so with that, I guess, comes...
A man with a very thick German accent.
Yeah, a thickie.
And, like, and he, like, goes between, like, the Berlin Wall. Like, he goes between, like, West and East Germany mm-hmm. all the time, and it's just very confusing, because that whole era of the world is confusing to me.
Yeah, I think his character is important because they need someone from the outside sort of advocating for these girls. Mm-hmm. And also because there is a moment of compassion that you see from Mother Suspiriorum in the end with his character, which mm-hmm. I also think is important for her character. Mm-hmm. But I do think they could have like explained that.
I agree. And also the shit with his wife really just threw me, you know, for the whatever the saying is.
I think it was really just in there because he needed a point of weakness. And that's what it
was. Besides him being old and wrinkly?
Yeah, he needed like a deeper point of weakness that because, you know, like the Holocaust and mm-hmm, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So like his wife obviously got taken away. Mm-hmm. And so he needs to have this like deeper, bigger thing in his life that he wants the answer to that they can use as like a bargaining chip.
Right.
Because I think if he was just gonna fucking die, then they would have killed him. They needed a reason to not.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was two of Tilda Swinton's characters. The third character she plays is Mother Marcos.
I hate this woman.
Who looks like a wrinkly avocado.
She kind of looks like the Pale Man.
She kind of really does. And she wears these like weird grosser goggles.
In a way.
And she's like naked. It's very confusing. And she
looks like she's melting.
She looks like she's melting. She also like hangs out like underneath the dance studio and like feels Dakota Johnson's character.
Yeah, it's really disgusting.
Like, you know, like when you're looking at houses or something and you want to like feel the vibe of the place. She was like doing the same thing with her new vessel. blech. Gross.
Yeah, I don't like her. She looks like a melty like dough woman. Yeah. And why is she naked? Put clothes on her. Like, there are so many big tent dresses in this movie. Just throw one on, Madame Marcos.
Throw one on. Oh, anyway, I love this movie so much.
Me too. I liked it a lot more than I expected to.
Wow.
I know. Look at that. I expected to be like thoroughly grossed out and just kind of be like, not for me. Mm-hmm. But like, if someone asked me to watch Suspiria again, like today, I would.
Oh, I totally would.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yay! A win! A win for witches everywhere.
Yeah. So those are our Halloween picks for this year.
For this spook season.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Watch them. You'll feel all of the the range of emotions that one can feel about Halloween time. I think these movies are a really good, like, range of Halloween vibes because you have a classic Halloween, like, slasher vibe. But it's vintage, so it's not like that scary. Mm-hmm. And then you have a funny, lighthearted, and then you also have like a really deeply disturbing.
Very deeply disturbing. In six acts, no less.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like Suspiria takes place in Halloween or anything like that. It just is.
It's just creepy as fuck.
So creepy that it's a really good thing for the time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Yeah, and obviously we talked about Hocus Pocus in our last episode, so watch that too. That's a Halloween essential.
All right, ladies and gentle freaks, we're going to go into our dabble section, aka what we've been up to lately, Halloween edition. So what is our favorite Halloween activity? Jessica, what's your favorite Halloween activity?
Well, I like a lot of things about Halloween time, but obviously we're a little limited this year. You know, so like I usually love passing out candy in my mother's neighborhood, but mm-hmm. I don't think that is happening.
Rest in peace.
I know we're also going to be recording on Halloween Day. So mm-hmm. there's that. I love that. Mm-hmm. But I really like usually going apple picking around Halloween time.
Aww.
Or at least like pre-Halloween, Halloween, or beginning of November. And because we live in Southern California, there are not that many places for you to go. But if you go to like Oak Glen, like a little past Yucaipa, you can go to some good orchards. And so I think if it's not too hot, we're trying to like plan a little day trip to go get some apples.
Aww.
So that I can bake a lot of shit.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. In the spirit of apples, my favorite Halloween thing is food.
Yeah, that's also true.
So my favorite activity to do on Halloween is eat the things that I've either made / bought. For example, I'm a big cider fan.
Oh, I love
big
cider.
Big fan of cider.
Do you like it hot or cold?
I like a good hot cider.
Okay.
But I have had it cold, and I think both are really delicious.
Yes.
I've also had, surprisingly, a like cider slurpee type thing.
Ooh.
That is very delicious.
I like cider anything. Like, I really like when they put cider in baked goods.
Oh, yeah.
Like, apple cider donuts are really good.
Mm. I've had apple cider strudel.
Oh,
that shit is bomb.
That sounds good.
I love a good pumpkin seed, a good toasted pumpkin seed.
Hell yeah.
That's one of my favorite fall autumnal snacks.
Do you make pumpkin seeds, Monica?
I do. My husband hates like pumpkin guts, so I unfortunately can't do anything about it this year.
Oh.
I plan on getting divorced next year, though, so
okay.
It would make more sense to be able to pull that out.
Do you have
next
like a
year.
Signature flavor you make your pumpkin seeds?
I really just like them toasted with salt.
Okay.
I don't have any, like, I don't like sweet pumpkin seeds. I know a lot of people like
roasted, like, brown sugar cinnamon ones.
Yeah. Those are not my favorite. Like, I just don't like a dessert pumpkin seed. I really love, like, a good savory pumpkin seed. So I'll either do, sometimes I'll put, like, garlic powder on them, and that's really delicious. Same.
I think my favorite has been, like, sea salt, lemon, and garlic.
Oh, yeah. I will always do, like, a lemon or lime. One time I made, like, spicy ones, and I did, like, lime and like, chili powder. We did that last year.
So good.
So good. Anyway. Those are my dabblings. This is probably what I'm going to end up doing for this Jalloween.
Hell yeah. I support that. I'll probably bake something good. Maybe I'll bring some new.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I want to make pumpkin bread really badly.
You should. Put chocolate chips.
I was going to make like a cinnamon strudel-y chocolate chip pumpkin bread.
Oh, I love. Strudel is my favorite pastry.
Strudel topping on anything, like the strudel topping that comes on like coffee cake or like those really like luscious blueberry muffins. Fuck me up, man.
So fucking good. Anyway, sorry, we're like talking your ear off about food. That's okay. We actually have some Halloween questions.
Yes, we do.
Jessica, would you like to read this the first one from our good listener?
So the first one is, what is your favorite Halloween movie?
Well, I'm so glad that you asked. I have a top three.
Okay, give it to me.
Number one is The Great Big Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Amazing.
Two is The Witch.
Amazing. Yes, good.
Three is probably The Exorcist.
Okay. All right.
Those three.
That's fun. Uh-huh. Good. My favorite is pretty standard. It's Hocus Pocus.
Fuck you. Fuck off.
It's amazing. My mother and I love it. Like, my mom still quotes the movie throughout the entire film while we watch it. So
I put a spell on you. Yeah, now you're mine.
She's a Bette Midler super fan.
Ooh, did you listen to her?
She doesn't listen to this podcast.
I know. I stopped myself. She doesn't know how to
work her phone.
Oh, God.
But real standard. I love a Hocus Pocus. But I also like... I just really like movies set in like fall times anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So anything like that is really comforting. Like I love like when Harry Met Sally, such a good fall vibe.
So good.
Even though this movie is fucking sad, the movie Stepmom is a really beautiful fall vibe.
That is a nice fall vibe.
You know, so there's, I love those like 90s fall movies.
Absolutely.
Those are the best.
One thing that I will say is I do miss being able to go to like, Halloween haunts and stuff.
Yes. So we went to, what's the one that they do in Griffith Park? The Haunted Hayride last year.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking fun. Mm-hmm. I'm so mad we can't do it this year. They're doing like a drive-in one and I don't think that sounds fun. So
I don't like hay. I don't like hay, so I don't go.
I did not like sitting in the hay next to strangers and like having a scary man like breathe in my ear. Because that's what one of the actors did. He like put a chainsaw above my head and then stuck his face like,
that
right
would
in
not
my
be
ear.
Allowed in the COVID times.
Absolutely not. But yeah,
I specifically miss the like Warner Brothers haunt that they did. They did like a Halloween Horror Nights type thing, but like on the Warner Brothers lot.
They did.
So it was like Scary Gilmore Girls.
Just like last year.
It was like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
They didn't do it last year. They canceled it. They just straight up fucking canceled it.
Oh, well that sucks.
Because not enough people like bought tickets, but I bought tickets.
I didn't even know about this. I would have gone. That sounds great.
They had the exorcist, like they had an Exorcist one.
Ooh.
They had an It one first came out and it was really, really big.
I don't like movies like It. They freak me out. And a man made
you don't like
go,
the Skarsgårds.
I love the Skarsgårds. First of all,
okay.
but no, that movie is freaky. I just don't like creepy jump scare, like shit hiding under your bed movies, because I will actually be terrified of them in my real life.
That makes sense.
Even if I know they're insane and would never happen.
That's true.
So like a scary Pennywise clown is not going to, you know, be under my bed, but still. And a man made me go see that with him on our first date and I was so mad.
That is not it.
I was very upset and I was just like, I don't like horror movies. And so afterwards he was like, how'd you like it? And I was like, I did not like it.
Good for you for voicing your opinion. What's our next question?
Our next question is, what is your favorite Halloween costume that you've ever had? So I guess like what's the best thing you've ever gone as on Halloween?
I once went as the Hamburglar.
If that isn't on brand, I don't know what is.
Oh, also, I think I was like maybe 10. Mm-hmm. I went as a penguin, but it didn't have like a real. I used to make like make all mm-hmm. my costumes. But I had this like giant like styrofoam tube that I like put myself in and drew eyes on.
That's cute. That's nice.
I was supposed to be a penguin. I'll see if I can find any pictures. They all got lost in time.
Yeah. I think once in college, I went as Heather Duke from Heather's.
Oh.
And my friend went as Veronica Sawyer. And we carried around the croquet mallets.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people were like, who are you supposed to be? And then the other people who like also had cool like movie costumes mm-hmm. were like, Heather's, yeah.
Heather's, yeah.
So that was a really fun one. And then once in high school, I went as Magenta from Rocky Horror. And that was also a really good costume.
That's a good costume. No one ever gets my costumes.
Like, what have you gone on? What's the most obscure costume you've ever done?
Oh. One year I went as Pirate's Booty. And no one got that one.
What? Okay, but like, what did the costume look like?
Because I got a lot of like hand-me-down stuff
mm-hmm.
that I then converted into like new costumes. And sure. One of my brothers went as Jack Sparrow.
Okay.
So I took his costume yeah. and then printed out a bunch of like little butts and then put it all over me.
I feel like I would have gotten that.
And then I hot glued a bunch of like Pirate's Booty, like Colonel, like mm-hmm. the little guys, like all over my sword.
Okay, so the people you were around are just stupid.
They're just dumb as fuck.
Yeah, because I would have gotten that. Yeah. 2 years ago, I went to a Halloween party with one of my good friends, and we dressed as Betty and Veronica from the Archie comics, not from
Riverdale.
Not from Riverdale. And like I had a sweater with a V on it, and she had one with a B, and we were dressed exactly like them. And then everyone was like, are you like Velma and Daphne from Scooby-Doo? And I was like, no,
bitches be crazy,
nor are we dressed like them,
bitches be dumb.
Everyone asked us that. I was like, have you never ever seen an Archie comic in your fucking life?
Trash.
And then we said we're Betty and Veronica, and they're like from Riverdale.
Mm-hmm. I was once a reindeer.
Oh, for Halloween.
For Halloween.
Wow.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, it was only like within the last like couple years that I started wearing like normal costumes. Like I went as Morticia.
That's good.
Morticia was like my first like real like normal costume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I went as something else and then something else. Okay. So,
well, maybe next year will be the time for us to shine.
Maybe. I'll go all out.
Hell yeah. Let's do it.
Maybe I'll be Takis. Next year.
like the food?
Like the food.
Yeah. And for a minute I was like the movies? Like you're going as a talkie?
No.
All right, everyone.
That was Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Stay safe.
And as always,
don't sue us, Daddy Favreau.
Ah, 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 ah.